The epistle reading this morning is from the 10th chapter of Romans. And instead of beginning the reading where the bulletin says I'm going to begin the reading, I have decided instead to begin reading at chapter 9, verse 30. Hear the word of God. What then are we to say? Gentiles who did not strive for righteousness have attained it, that is, righteousness through faith. But Israel, who did not strive for the righteousness that is based on, who did strive for the righteousness that is based on the law, did not succeed in fulfilling the law. Why not? Because they did not strive for it on the basis of faith, but as if it were based on works. They have stumbled over the stumbling stone, as it is written, "See, I am laying in Zion a stone that will make people stumble, a rock that will make them fall. And whoever believes in him will not be put to shame." Brothers and sisters, my heart's desire and prayer to God for them is that they may be saved. I can testify that they have a zeal for God, but it is not enlightened. For being ignorant of the righteousness that comes from God and seeking to establish their own, they have not submitted to God's righteousness. For Christ is the end of the law, so that there may be righteousness for everyone who believes. Moses writes concerning the righteous that comes from the law, that the person who does these things will live by them. But the righteousness that comes from faith says, "Do not say in your heart, 'Who will ascend into heaven?' that is to bring Christ down, or 'Who will descend into the abyss?' that is to bring Christ up from the dead." But what does it say? The word is near you, on your lips and in your heart. That is the word of faith that we proclaim. Because if you confess with your lips that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For one believes with the heart and so is justified, and one confesses with the mouth and so is saved. The scripture says, "No one who believes in him will be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. The same Lord is Lord of all and is generous to all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
It may be a little bit surprising on the first Sunday of Lent that a preacher chooses not to preach from the passage in Luke that Michael read a few moments ago about the temptation of Jesus, because after all, that passage, which is the appointed passage every year at the beginning of Lent, has so defined the journey through Lent to Easter morning. In a sense, I think that passage gives us a model for the Lenten journey. Jesus spends 40 days in the wilderness where he is tempted by Satan. And here we are in the 40 days of Lent. Also, Jesus is tempted to sin, which he does not do. And Lent traditionally is a season for us to repent from our sin by turning to the very one who is without sin and is able to heal us and to save us and to love us. But this year, on the first Sunday in Lent, I want us to consider this small slice of the book of Romans. Here, Paul is wrestling with something that probably isn't uppermost in our minds nowadays. Paul was wrestling with why Israel had rejected Christ, but the Gentiles had been drawn into the gospel and saved by the risen Lord. What was that all about? And if you look in Romans, you see chapters 9 through 11 is a section in which 9 through 11 form a section in which Paul is wrestling with this very issue. Now, you probably didn't wake up this morning with that question on your mind. But let me suggest to you that Paul's response to that question offers a very timely, very contemporary, and very decisive answer to so much that plagues our society today. Namely, Paul's response is to offer a universal message of salvation, a universal message of God's love for all creation, and therefore a message of hope for all humanity. Let me say that again. Paul offers a universal message of God's love for all creation, and therefore, it is a message of hope for all humanity. Now, while neither you nor I might add, woke up this morning with Paul's specific conundrum on our minds about the Jews and the Gentiles, I happen to believe that the world today is hungering for this good news. Think about it for just a moment. Imagine all of the ways in which this message of God's love for all creation could have an impact upon ourselves, upon the people we love, and upon the world at large. Think of the troubled, hate-filled situations in the world today in which the message of God's love for all creation could make the decisive difference. Paul says very clearly, and I love this, we are not to go around saying who's going to heaven and who's going to hell. Instead, Paul talks about a righteousness that comes from faith. And the righteousness that comes from faith proclaims the good news that the Word is near you. The Word is in your hearts. The Word is on your lips. And the Word, of course, is the Word about Christ, the Word about faith. It is the Word of God, and this has already been given. This is the good news with which we began the Lenten journey. Let's unpack that for just a moment. The Word of God is something that searches us out. The Word of God is something that comes to us, that reaches out to us, that is given to us. It is not something that we find by searching long and hard and diligently enough. In other words, it's not, like the law, something that we might hope to accomplish or we might hope to achieve if we work at it hard enough. No, the Word of God is given. The Word of God is to be received, not managed. The Word of God, which is the Word of love for all creation, is already, says Paul, on our lips and in our hearts. How does Paul say that? I love this verse. He says, there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. The same Lord is Lord of all and is generous to all who call on Him. We live in a messy world, you and I, don't we? Isn't that the case? Anybody live in an unmessy world? It is all mixed up, this world of ours, mixed up with war, with the rumor of war, and with the threat that the war is going to multiply so that it finally involves all creation. We live in a world that is also full of messy, very messy relationships. There are old wounds that need to be forgiven. Long-held grudges that need finally, by the grace of God, to be let go of. It's a world where Christians often don't know what to make of Muslims, and Muslims often don't know what to make of Christians. And in the midst of all of that, it is the most fundamentalist of both camps that often poison the atmosphere. We live in a world where marriages are barely being held together. We live in a world where adultery is commonplace. Where children grow up too fast, sometimes, not always, but sometimes because of the lack of parental involvement. We live in a world of resentment and hurt and misunderstanding and impatience and fear. And what is the answer? Paul tells us that the answer is that the word is near you. The word has been given. It is already on your lips and in your hearts, and it is a word of God's love for all creation, where there is no distinction between all of the people that you and I like to draw distinctions about. God loves all people everywhere, in every land, in every culture, in every tongue. No matter what race or ethnic origin or tribe they come from, you see, that is the very issue that Paul was wrestling with, and that's why I began this sermon by telling you it was a very timely and contemporary message that he was sharing. It doesn't just have to do with the divide between Jews and Greeks. It has to do with us. It has to do with who we are. And how we live our lives, how we share the love of God with others, how we forgive one another as God in Christ has forgiven us. Here's one more thing. And I hope you hear this as very, very good news this morning. The love of God is large enough to forgive all our sins. It is large enough to forgive all of the wrongs that have been done to us and all the wrongs that we have done to others. The love of God is big enough to help us, and here's a toughie sometimes, the love of God is big enough to help us forgive ourselves and others. It's big enough to hold marriages together. It's big enough to take adultery out of the equation. It's big enough to heal the wounded resentment and the hurt and the dashed hopes that we experience. That's why I have entitled this morning's sermon, More Than Talk. The word that is on our lips and in our hearts is a word from God that is to be lived by. It is a word from God that is to shape us, to fashion us. Thanks be to God.